السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله تعالى، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلوات الله وسلامه عليه. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him because He is worthy of praise. And His worthiness for praise comes from His beautiful names and His attributes, which show us His perfection. فَسُبْحَانَهُ مِنْ إِلَهِ. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evils within ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and blessings upon the last and final messenger, upon His family, His companions, His wives, and all those who follow His way until the end of time. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We remind one another to be people of taqwa, to be conscious of Allah in our day-to-day affairs and in all of our decisions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the muttaqeen. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. Amma ba'd. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala an. This is the man who the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said he is the most knowledgeable in halal and haram. One day Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a very beautiful question. He said, Ya Rasulullah, akhbirni bi'amalin yudkhiluni al-jannah wa yuba'iduni min an-nar. He said, Ya Rasulullah, teach me, inform me of something that I can do that will get me closer to paradise and make me further away from hellfire. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to really emphasize the importance of this question, how meaningful it is, he said, Ya Mu'ad, laqad sa'alta an azim. You asked about something grand, something great. Prophet's teaching us, pay attention to what he's about to say, his answer. And he said, Wa innahu la yasirun ala man yassarahu Allahu alayhi. And the Prophet said, it is easy, despite how grand My response is going to be, it will be easy upon those who Allah makes it easy for. Now the hadith is a little bit longer, so I'm going to be a little bit concise here. The Prophet ﷺ basically teaches us, if you want to get closer to paradise, and you want to be more further away from hellfire, do the pillars of Islam. Pray, fast, give your zakah. And those, what we know. And then the Prophet ﷺ teaches us a little bit more information about these pillars, these actions. He says, as for fasting, as-sawmu junnah, fasting protects you, it's a shield. And prayer is light. And he explains why these actions are so critical to bringing you closer to paradise and taking you away from hellfire. And then the Prophet ﷺ further shapes the image of Islam in our minds. And he says, the essence of this affair, the essence of the path to paradise is al-Islam, submission to Allah. And its pillar is Salah. And the highest rank is to strive for the sake of Allah. Now the point I want to take from this hadith is what's about to come. The Prophet then says, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمَلَاكِ ذَٰلِكَ كُلِّهِ. He says, Ya Mu'adh, shall I not inform you with what you need to know in order to fully possess the ability to apply these things? In other words, if you truly want to pray and maintain your prayer and get the benefits of prayer, if you truly want to be somebody who fasts and fulfill your obligation to fast and to actually benefit from your fasting, and the same thing with zakah, and the same thing with hajj, of course we want to know this. In other words, pay attention to what he's about to say. Because if you can practice this, when you apply the actions of iman, you're going to find it so beneficial. But if you don't practice this, then you'll find all of your efforts are just, it withers away and it erodes and it hinders your ability to actually live as a Muslim. أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمَلَاكِ ذَٰلِكَ كُلِّهِ. Shall I not inform you with this piece of information that you must know? قَالَ بَلَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Mu'adh said, of course. What is it? فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ وَقَالْ كُفْ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا. He took his tongue. Prophet took his tongue, held his tongue, and said, be careful of this. Be careful of this. Now Mu'adh was shocked by what the Prophet ﷺ did. And he said, قَالَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّا لَمُؤَخَذُونَ بِمَا نَقُولُ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, are we actually accountable for the things we say? And the Prophet said, man, Mu'adh, where have you been? Where have you been, Mu'adh? Oh Mu'adh, most of the people from my ummah who enter the hellfire because of their tongue. Imagine that. How often are we actually conscious of the things we say? And the Prophet here is telling us most believers who enter the hellfire get there because of their tongue. Dear brothers and sisters, in order to enter Islam, you enter Islam with a word. And people end up leaving Islam, apostating from Islam with a word. To get married, you say a word. I do. And to get divorced, you say a word. Talaq. And the Prophet ﷺ says, somebody might say a word and not think twice about it, but it causes them to elevate in ranks in paradise. And another person will say one word, not thinking twice about it, thinking it's insignificant, yet that word will cause them to drop down in the depths of hellfire. That is the power of a word in Islam. And so isn't it obvious at this point that we really need to be careful with the things we say, with what our tongue is doing? And so today I remind myself before I remind anybody else, with the most common ways we end up sinning with our tongue. And the first of those is lying. Lying. The Prophet ﷺ says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكَذِبْ. Be careful, be extra cautious when it comes to lying. فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. Lying leads to corruption. Not just corruption on earth. I mean, Look at the world today. We are no longer able to determine who's telling the truth and who's lying. All these commercials. You have to try this product. If you try this product, your life will be exactly perfect. No, don't listen to that person. They're a liar. We have no idea who's telling the truth and who's lying. And look at the corruption that results as a result of lying. But lying and the corruption that results from lying isn't just a social phenomenon. It spiritually corrupts the person. In other words, every time a person says a lie, it hurts their iman. It turns off. It dims just a little bit, or maybe quite a bit, the light, the nur in a person's heart. It corrupts that person. And when the person becomes corrupted, they start doing the actions of hellfire. So it's serious stuff. But we understand lying and blatant lying is haram. There are other forms where our tongue, our lying, we tend to overlook or not even realize that we just lied. One of those is to claim that we have something that we don't really have. Social media. People go about living the life. I got my Gucci. I got my Prada. I flew first class. I went to this fancy restaurant. Pictures everywhere. And they post it on their social media. And it's all a lie. They didn't fly first class. They didn't actually eat at that restaurant. They don't actually own that fancy car. They just rented it. They don't actually own that big home. They actually just Airbnb'd it. That is a lie. The Prophet ﷺ said so. A lady came to the Prophet ﷺ, said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a co-wife. Is it okay if every now and then I dress up with some fancy clothing and say that our husband bought it for me, he didn't buy it for you? She wants to, you know, she's competing. And the Prophet ﷺ said, pay attention, O social media users. مَن تَشَبَّعَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَابِسُ ثَوْبَي زُورٍ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The Prophet said, whoever pretends to have something that they don't really have, then they have lied, severely lied twice. The lie of actually pretending to have something and the lie of actually claiming to have it. And so ask yourself, how many times have I posted something on social media with the intent to show other people that I'm living the life that I'm not actually living? That is a lie. And so pay attention to that and realize it's not just an innocent post. Oh, what's going to happen? No, no, you are affecting people. When they do research studies and they're looking at the sharp increase in depression rates in young children. Children as young as 9, especially ladies, young girls, are falling into depression at unprecedented rates. What do they find? Social media. These young ladies are looking at these influencers, these models on social media who use Photoshop, who use every single trick in the book to appear more beautiful than they actually are. And this young lady looks in the mirror and says, who am I? What kind of a girl, what kind of beauty do I have in comparison to these ladies? And these other men are looking at these guys who are living the life in their fancy cars and, oh, I'm just a loser then. Notice how it creates corruption, how it harms people. It's not just an innocent post, but rather it creates animosity between people. So be careful of that lie. And another lie that is very common, unfortunately, in the Muslim world is the lie of nationalism. To claim that because I'm part of a certain nation, that makes me superior to people who aren't from that nation. That is a lie. Now, I'm not saying don't love your nation. You should be proud of your nation. You should be a positive force for your nation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about using one's ethnic identity to put other people down. That is a lie. And the Prophet ﷺ calls that da'wah al-jahiliyyah. The call of the ignorant people, the pre-Islamic people. Yet our ummah is so plagued with this, unfortunately. Alhamdulillah, that's the younger generation born and raised in America, it seems like that's just disappearing. It's irrelevant to them. But we still see it and we know it's there. And we know how harmful that is. And we know how it creates animosity between people, how it creates corruption, and know that it is a lie. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, a black man is not better than a white man, and a white man is not better than a black man, and an Arab's not better than a non-Arab, and a non-Arab's not better than an Arab. Kullukum min Adam. You're all from Adam alayhi salam. Wa Adam min turab. And Adam was created from dirt. That is a healthy mindset. But the mindset of nationalism, of racism, corrupts not only society, it corrupts the soul. And another type of lie that we often overlook or don't think twice, and this is the most severe of lies, is lying about Allah and the religion. Eight verses, eight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِنْ مَنِ افْتَرَىٰ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who is more unjust? In other words, the most unjust and corrupt people are those who say Allah said something when Allah didn't say it. Or those who say Allah didn't say something when He said it. Have you heard of the plant-based Eid al-Adha? Have you heard this? They say Islam teaches kindness to animals and therefore we don't slaughter animals. That is a lie. We slaughter animals. Allah said so in the Quran. And Allah promotes it and He says do it. And He says it's His blessing upon humanity. And so those who say there is no such thing as udhiyah or qurban, he has lied against Allah. And those who say something is halal when it's actually haram, that Allah hasn't banned same-sex attraction and homosexuality, there's nothing in the Quran that says that's haram. They have lied against Allah, not against me, not against Sheikh so-and-so, not against a classical scholar. They have lied against Allah. How big of a sin do you think that is? You won't be accountable to me. You won't be accountable to the esteemed Dr. Muzammil Siddiqui. You won't be accountable to Sheikh so-and-so. You are accountable to Allah. And so imagine how much damage, harm is done when people talk about the religion without knowledge. They say, yeah, this is halal. Don't worry about it. No, this is haram. No, no, you can't do it. It goes on both sides. Be careful with what your tongue says. And if you don't know, then may Allah have mercy and bless the one who says, Allahu A'lam, I don't know, ask somebody else. And that was the way of the companions. So dear brothers and sisters, know that lying corrupts the soul and it corrupts society and it causes your children to distrust you. When they see that my parent is just a liar, they lie left and right, why should I trust them? When the child grows up and the parent is telling them, be, practice Islam and pray and don't do this, yet the parent is doing that, they're lying. That's how the child sees it, and it damages the relationship, and it creates distrust. So be careful with the sin of lying. Another way our tongues acquire sin in a common way is backbiting and slandering. Backbiting and slandering. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام says, لَمَّا عَرَجَ بِي رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَرَرْتُ بِقَوْمٍ لَهُمْ أَظَافِرُ مِنْ نُحَاسٍ يَخْمِشُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَصُدُورَهُمْ. The Prophet said, on the night of Isra and Mi'raj, I passed by a group of people with copper nails and they were scratching their face and they were scratching their chest. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Jibreel, who are these people? And Jibreel ﷺ said, هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ وَيَقَعُونَ فِي أَعْرَاضِهِمْ. He said, these are the people who eat the flesh of others, meaning they backbite and they slander the reputation, the honor of other people. It's serious. And we know, we admit, let's just be real with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know we all fall into this. And if maybe I'm not directly participating in backbiting and slandering, we sit in environments and gatherings where it's happening. And so we need to really be more conscious of this. It's serious stuff. It is serious stuff. People are being punished in the grave because of their excessive backbiting and their excessive slandering. It harms relationships. It creates animosity. It creates hatred and division. And we are in a time where the flames are being fanned. The flames of division and chaos and corruption are being promoted. So we need to be careful. But instead of reminding ourselves simply of what we know, let us encourage each other to do tawbah from this, to repent from this sin. And you hear very commonly that if you have backbitten somebody, you need to go to that person and say, you know, I have said this and that about you, please forgive me. And no doubt that it is a legitimate opinion. But I personally follow that of the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, who says, if you have backbitten somebody, the tawbah for that isn't to go to that person, but rather go back to the people who you were with when you were talking ill of that person and tell them, you know, I said X, Y, and Z about so-and-so, I was wrong for doing that, and then praise that person who you previously backbit. That way you restore the honor of that individual and you restore and you mend the relationships. And so that is tawbah. Now, if you are sitting in a gathering where people are talking bad of other people, backbiting is occurring, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says something beautiful, a beautiful reward. مَنْ رَدَّ عَنْ عِرْضِ أَخِيهِ فِي الْغَيْبِ رَدَّ اللَّهُ عَنْ وَجْهِهِ النَّارَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. If you protect the honor and the reputation of somebody when they are absent, Allah will protect your face from the hellfire. In other words, you're sitting in a gathering and somebody is mentioned, man, that person is bad and that person is evil and that person did this, this, and that. You go and you say, stop talking about that person. In fact, that person is a great person. They've done so many good things. Allah says your reward is Allah will protect your face from the hellfire. So let us encourage one another to be away from this sin. And last but not least, one of the ways our tongues acquire sins is through arguing. Arguing. And bickering. And anybody on social media knows that social media rewards conflict. If you want to become popular on social media, just say absurd things. Just say absurd things. And you have people come, no, that's wrong, no, that's right. And arguing happens. If you want to create a quick following on social media, just be somebody who constantly argues. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam comes and says, don't do that. Don't do that. And he says, kharajtu, in a verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa inna ash-shayatin la yuhuna ila awliya'ihim liyujadilukum. This verse is amazing. Pay attention to this. Allah says, the shayateen, the devils, encourage their awliya, meaning the devils from the jinn, go to their awliya, their friends from the human beings, and inspire them, encourage them, whisper in their minds, go argue with so-and-so. The shayateen love when we argue. Why? Because they understand the harms that come. Think about your own life. Have you ever had an argument that actually ended well? That actually built relationships? That actually brought something positive in the lives of those who are arguing? If it's happened, it's so rare. Most of the time, it ends up with bitter feelings, with resentment, going home frustrated, angry, I have to avenge myself, I have to go and get revenge, I have to go and tell that person, put them in place. It harms relationships. And when we get into arguing, we get upset. And when we get upset, our tongue becomes more foul. Our bodies become more aggressive. We are more likely to fall into sinning. And I'm going to quote you a hadith from the life of the Prophet. If this is the only negative consequence of arguing, it would be enough to avoid it. The Prophet ﷺ once heard people discussing, and that discussion turned into a little bit louder voices and an argument. And the Prophet says, "Kharajtu liukhbirakum bishay." The Prophet said, "I came out to inform you." What were they talking about? When is Laylatul Qadr? When is Laylatul Qadr? And that became an argument. And the Prophet said, "I came out. I was coming to inform you when Laylatul Qadr is." And then the Prophet said, "But I no longer remember when it is." Allah lifted that information. Allah lifted the information of when Laylatul Qadr is because they were arguing. In other words, arguing removes barakah. It removes barakah. They could have known when Laylatul Qadr is. And can you imagine if you knew exactly when Laylatul Qadr is? What would you do that night? Oh, you're going to go all out. You're going to pray. You're going to give sadaqah. You're going to do dhikr. You're going to do so much good deeds because you know it's opportunities right in front of you. That was lost. Why? Because they argued. And so think about it, dear parents. When you are constantly arguing and bickering with your spouse, how much barakah is removed from the lives of the people of that home? From the lives of your children? Children run away from their homes. Why? Because their home is full of bickering and arguing. I get so many emails. See how it removes the barakah? And now sometimes we need to debate. Sometimes we need to actually address issues. And so when I say arguing, what I mean is arguing over petty issues. Who cares? Who cares if you go to this restaurant or that restaurant? Who cares if you spend your day in Los Angeles or San Diego? That's not something worth arguing for. And so avoid argumentation. And be like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who when anybody came to argue with him, he would sit and be silent and wait until that other person gets everything out of their heart. Then he would say, have you finished? And then he would calmly respond. Do this with your spouse. When your child is acting up, do it with your child. Do it with your friends and you'll find Allah will bless you and put the barakah in your life for following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are three very common ways that we all know we fall into when it comes to how our tongue acquires sin. Lying and backbiting and slandering. And finally, number three, argumentation. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam, ala rasulillah, amma ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters, I remind myself and I remind you all, our tongue can corrupt us and our tongue can be a source of great damage. It can ruin relationships. But if we use our tongue in a positive way, in a good way, in a wise way, it can build relationships. It can stop wars. It can stop problems. And so to encourage us to utilize our tongue for that which is good, I remind you of a hadith, a very beautiful hadith that really summarizes this khutbah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبْضِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحِقًّا. I guarantee a place in the outskirts of paradise for the one who leaves arguing, even if they're right. You know you're right, but you say, you know what? The Prophet told me, don't argue. You leave arguing, you don't argue. Allah, the Prophet says, I guarantee you a spot in the outskirts of paradise. And then he continues and says, وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِبَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مِزَاحًا. And I guarantee a place in the middle of paradise for the one who leaves lying, even if they are just joking around. We mentioned lying is one of the most common ways we sin. The Prophet says, if you leave lying, you get a place in the middle of paradise. And then the Prophet says, وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقُهُ. And I guarantee a place in the highest levels of paradise for the one who has good akhlaq. And know that backbiting and slandering is poor akhlaq. If you have good akhlaq, the Prophet is saying, I guarantee you a place in the highest levels of paradise. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be among the wise people, those who use their tongue for that which is good, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from using our tongues for that which is bad. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minin wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka sami'un qareebun mujibud da'awati rabbil alamin. Allahumma aslih lana deenana alladhi huwa 'ismatu amrina wa aslih lana dunyana allati fiha ma'ashuna wa aslih lana akhiratana allati ilayha ma'aduna waj'al al hayata ziyadatan lana fi kulli khair waj'al al mauta rahatan lana min kulli shar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins, to overlook our shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us guidance and to grant us his tawfiq. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are going through difficulties in life, whether that's marital difficulties, difficulty with their family, with their children, health difficulties, financial difficulties, or anyone who's going through or dealing with oppression and political persecution for the reason that they believe in Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them a way out. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be a source of alleviation for them. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. A very quick plug, and it was mentioned before the khutbah that ISOC along with IOK will be offering a week-long intensive course on refinement of character, looking at Imam al-Bukhari's Adab al-Mufrad, where we go through akhlaq. I just mentioned the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, the highest levels of paradise are given to those who have good character. Take advantage of this opportunity. I am one of the teachers, and so I hope to see you all there. Encourage yourself and your family to attend this, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Welcome to Salah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استووا استقيموا make sure your lines are straight shoulder to shoulder fill in any gaps remember perfecting our lines is part of perfecting صلاة الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to thank Imam Tariq Atta for his beautiful message. It's really a lot of ata here, eh? That you'll find that gift here and given to us, a gracious gift, alhamdulillah. The message of truthfulness and honesty. May Allah keep us on that right path and give us tawfiq and the hidayah that we apply that in our life. We'll be praying for three people and also another person who passed away. But nobody prayed for him, so family wants him to have the prayer, so we'll have the Salatul Ghaib for that person. Before that, please remember the people who are not well. Brother Muhammad Rafi', Brother Aliuddin Muhammad, Brother Haitham Bandukchi, Brother Zeng Wan Pai, Brother Muhammad Rashdan, may Allah give them shifa. And all the other people who are not well, may Allah give them shifa. Dua maghfira for Brother Adil Lutfi, ghafara Allahu lahu, may Allah have mercy on him and bless him and give patience to his family. Salatul Janaza will be for Brother Kanat Abdurraimu, condolences to his family and friends. I think the body will be taken overseas for burial. Brother Eric Rene Anderson, condolences to his mother, sister Ruth, relatives and friends. And burial will take place in Islamic mortuary in Rosemont. And Sister Sayyida Abida Wafiqullah, condolences to her children, Ruby, Noshi, Najib, Saif, and Farah, relatives and friends. And burial will be here at the Westminster Memorial. And then Salatul Ghaib for Brother Muniru Idrisu, passed away in Panama. And there was no janaza prayer held for him. His only surviving next of kin is young daughter, Safiya. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Inshallah, we'll remember him in our dua when we are praying Salatul Janaza. So all the three bodies are here, and we'll be praying for them together, inshallah. And then also we'll think of Brother Muniru, inshallah. May Allah bless him wherever he passed and wherever he buried. Also, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, Bilal Umar Al-Farooq, will be having heart surgery at 3 p.m. today. May Allah bless him. May Allah give him shifa. Allahumma shfihi Allah. Allahumma shfihi Allah. Barakallahu feekum. Please stand up, make line. And if any brother from the immediate family want to be in the front area, you can come. Stand in line. Yes, together. JazakAllah. One person here. Salatul Janaza has four takbirs. At the fourth takbir, raise your hands towards your ears and then say Allahu Akbar. After that, you recite Tasbih. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarakasmuk wa ta'ala jaddik wa jalla sana'uk wa la ilaha ghayruk. or you recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And second, Takbir. After that, you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. And the third Takbir, after that, is special dua, asking Allah's forgiveness and blessings for the people who passed away. Allahumma aghfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina. Allahumma aghfir lahum wa rahamhum. And then fourth Takbir and salam on both sides. May Allah bless you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allahumma aghfir lahum wa rahamhum wa afihim wa afu'an. Allahumma akrim ruzulahum wa sa'i mudkhalahum. Allahumma aghfir khatayahum bil ma'i wa salji wal barad. Allahumma naqqihim min al-dhunubi wal khataya kama yanqqa thawb al-abyadh min al-danath. Allahumma jazihim bil ihsani ihsana bis sayyiati afu minka. اللهم صبر أهلهم يا الله اللهم صبر أهلهم يا الله اللهم صبر أهلهم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا الله إن شاء الله we'll wait for a few minutes so that people pray sunnah and then after that you can take the bodies to the governs إن شاء الله